Hey everyone, welcome to More Than Meets These Guys. This podcast is a journey through Transformers from the beginning of the animated series with two old friends coming at it from different perspectives. Together we, these two guys, will go episode by episode with the occasional extra to look at how the show holds up or if it's a trap of nostalgia. We'll be looking at all things involved in the episode, whether there were real world factors that crept into the writing or the episode was typical afternoon cartoon fodder. I'm Evan, I'm a lifelong fan. I'm pretty much familiar with all aspects of the franchise and the fandom. While Ed here knew about Transformers, who's familiar with it, but it was really nothing he got into when he was younger. So welcome, everyone. Ed, how you doing, man?
Speaking of traps of nostalgia,
yes.
I've been watching a lot of ninja movies.
Oh, I saw that on your Facebook.
The last few days. I've been like the last few days, I've been watching a lot of ninja movies. Here's something you might not know is there aren't any good ninja movies.
Oh, no. Yeah, they were good to us when we were
little. No, they're bad. Every ninja movie is bad. Oh, dude, they're all terrible. I don't think anybody made a good ninja movie. I watched
American Ninja.
What's the American dude? Man,
American Ninja. What's JB favorite?
I think he liked. Our friend yeah. JB is notorious for like legitimately liking bad movies. Really, I'm pretty
loves
sure
loves Krull.
American Ninja loves Krull. Yeah. So in my mind, the first ninja movie that I ever saw when I was a kid was Ninja 3, The Domination. And so I just mythologized how good the ninja trilogy was. And so I decided my son needed me in whatever room he was in. So I'm just like, I'm going to watch something. I couldn't watch. I'm watching Fargo right now, which is very good, but I can't really watch that when he's in the room. So I'm like, man, I'm going to watch some cheesy action movies. Like what? I'm like, ooh. I'm gonna watch some ninja movies because I like ninjas. I was a big fan of Ninja 3 The Domination, not anywhere on the internet. So I'm like, oh, but there's Enter the Ninja, because it goes Enter the Ninja, Revenge of the Ninja, and Ninja 3 The Domination.
Okay.
And then just a couple years ago, they made another sequel called it was Ninja 4 with Shokasugi's son, Kane Kasugi.
Oh.
Anyway, so I'm watching Enter the Ninja. And there's some real, real cool ninja stuff at the very beginning. There's like, it's maybe 5 minutes of cool ninja stuff. And then there is a whole lot of like, to back up, after he does all the ninja, because there's the white ninja, mm-hmm. and he's facing off against the black ninja, and then like a whole army of red ninjas. So there's all this cool ninja action. There's smoke bombs, there's bows, there's swords, throwing stars, all the ninja stuff, all the accessories of the ninja are here. And he takes his mask off after he does all this stuff. And what do we see? What's revealed here? A white man with a mustache.
He looks like he looks like a 70s, 80s porn guy too. I remember.
Do you know who he is?
No,
do you
I
know
don't.
Who the ninja was in no. Ninja? It was the original Django.
Oh really?
Yeah, it was Django was the ninja. Was the ninja.
Nice.
But the ninja is like, so he's in the Philippines. He goes to the Philippines, the hotbed of ninja activity, the Philippines.
Okay. Sure.
And he's got some friends over that are over there, and he helps these friends out. And I can't go too far into it because it's like this is not a ninja podcast yet. Not until I make it a ninja podcast after I reform the ninja empire. But suffice to say, the ninja stays with his best friend and he ends up hooking up with his best friend's wife while they're in the same house. He stays
Assassins.
At his friend's house and he steals his best friend's wife. That's a very ninja activity to happen.
Yes, it is.
But what I want to talk about though is how the coolest thing when you were a kid, what's the coolest thing about ninjas when you were a kid?
I don't know, man, throwing stars. Cause you know, yeah. So, you know, honestly, what do we all do after we saw Ninja or Enter the Ninja or whatever? We went to like whatever fairgrounds thing, like knife show, and bought ninja stars.
Flea market, yeah, and you bought
throwing
stars. Yeah, exactly. And because the weapons of the ninja were the coolest thing. Mm-hmm. And so when you're a kid, you think that the ninja sword and the samurai sword are the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. Mm-hmm. But when you're a kid though, you hear all these stories about the samurai sword and how like mythologized samurai sword is, that it can cut through a tank and it's folded over 400 times. And I'm like, you know, you find out later on that you're like, oh, they did that because Japan's iron is real, real bad.
Yeah,
and they had to bang all the impurities out of this metal. But that may have been the number one most mythologized weapon of all of the 80s kidosphere. It was the samurai sword. Yeah. You have any weapons? You have any cool weapons that you're obsessed with?
I mean, so a mutual friend of ours that I'm not going to name him, we talked about in the past, who lived across the street from me growing up. We got our jogging suits on and t-shirts on our heads. We were ninja training, actually, because you train as a ninja when you're a kid in the 80s.
Oh yeah, man.
We had like, I think they had like three ninja stars, and we had like, I think broomsticks we'd use to fight with and stuff like that. And we were practicing. We practiced walk along the back of the fence because ninjas are assassins. They have perfect balance. They're amazing.
Right.
We are not amazing. We are not ninjas, and we do not have perfect balance. So it didn't last that long. But yeah, man,
Yeah.
I gotta say, I don't know if it's because of the we just did Cold Slither, but I just started doing this, so I kind of dive into weird weaponry though, because ninjas weaponry is it's cool. It's kind of out there a lot of times, but it's actually very based in analog weaponry.
Right.
Use throwing stars, which essentially like throwing knives, daggers, things like that. Your
Sure.
swords, things like that. But so I was listening to a podcast and I was talking about the Havana Syndrome, and they actually have kind of they there was a story, I think, in USA Today with Der Spiegel, which is another publication, was we're working with them. And they apparently like have found out that there's like Russian special forces that are using a sonic weapon to like basically mess with people's heads, and that's what it is.
The GRU, I think is who that is, isn't it?
Yes, it is
Yeah.
actually.
I
There
heard
is.
I think I may have listened to that same
Yeah,
podcast.
there's this like well-looking, like good-looking, blonde, guy in a very nice suit who'd be outside in the neighborhood in the country of Georgia, not the state, the country of Georgia. It was like right outside this house, and then they saw him. Like, what's he doing here? Looks like he's going to a nice, formal thing. And all of a sudden, the weapon goes off, and these people are like stricken for the rest of their lives with headaches and nausea, and some people come out of it, some people don't. And I'm like, apparently that's what they think happened with South Florida, Havana Syndrome. So I'm like, that's really cool. That's horrible. Also, it's also like a Cobra weapon. Man, that's something like the episode Destro would come out with this big weapon that would use a ruby crystal of Burma as its power source, and would mess with all the Joes, and they had to find a way to repel the forces.
Yeah, that's yeah, you're absolutely right. That is a That is very Cobra, and it's pretty scary. Yeah, when you think about it, I think they call those directed energy weapons. I think is what they're is the preferred term for those. But they're it's definitely definitely like when you find out like how like legit it actually is, it's pretty it's a little can be a little unnerving.
Yeah, man.
But
So yeah, is there any other weapons like that sound like they should be outlandish or not real weapons?
I was going to add on to that directed energy thing where they said that somebody said that they can actually just like at that sphere in Las Vegas that they can beam like different audio to different to individual seats in the
No way.
crowd, like yeah, so like you and I can be sitting together and like they can like if I speak like Spanish, they can like beam like the audio in Spanish to me and then in English to you because of the way I guess the way the sphere is built, but also the way the audio is set up in there, which is very,
That's pretty
very cool and
and
very
scary.
but very because but that goes into like targeted advertising too though, how like like if we're walking down the street and like I'm wearing like a I don't know, like I'm wearing like a Domino's pizza hat just because and like you're wearing like a Burger King hat and like it could be like directed like, oh, I'm gonna get some pizza. And I'm like, oh man, I want some pizza. And you're like, I really want a burger. I just heard a thing for burgers. And I was like, there wasn't anything for burgers. There was a thing for pizza on. And you're like,
Well,
it's,
yeah,
I don't like.
there's the first of all, there's a fallacy there because I never go to Burger King for a burger. But yes, I agree. That's kind of cool and scary, and almost like you get into the whole Cold Slither subliminal message thing, but in more direct and very almost more, well, a lot more sinister way. Like we need companies to have more control over our lives. But yeah, man, so we were talking recently about glitter boys, in riffs, the walking tank things with rail guns on their arms. And we thought rail guns are crazy. There's no way anyone would have rail guns. Apparently, rail guns are an actual thing now.
Yeah, you can build them for in your garage for pretty cheap. They're not as I mean they're not you're not gonna do 3d6 times 10 mega damage with them. But I
Man,
mean,
when
yeah,
you hit with
you
that thing, oof.
can.
So yeah, it
I
was,
mean,
yeah, I'm sorry.
like I know I think that like it's not even really like a rumored thing right now, but like I mean it's been, like a thing for a long time, is that like the neutron bomb is pretty,
Oh
like,
yeah.
where it's, you can drop this thing and just kill like everything in a city, and like all the buildings are still intact, man. That's pretty terrifying.
Yeah, it is.
I don't like that. I don't like that either.
No, I don't like your light going out either.
No, my PC went to sleep, and my the light source, if those of you who aren't watching on YouTube, my light source when I do this is just two white web browsers that bounce off my
Also,
face.
for those watching on YouTube or not, well, not watching on YouTube on the audio, I am in a different room this week. I just I showed up. Ed's like, "Where are you? We're at a satellite location." Yeah, we have rehomed a friend's cat who is very, apparently, according to her, very spicy, and she's like not at all. But she's in my office right now because I have a bathroom and sink and everything that so you know, all the stuff can be in there. So I've been kicked out of my office for the week. So hopefully by this coming week, which we have a very special interview coming up, I will be back in there because I feel
Nice.
naked. I had to bring Optimus Prime in here behind me, so I feel at ease. But
So speaking of ninja weapons, though, did you ever get the Bud K catalog when you were a kid?
Bud K catalog. I don't think so. Why? What's that?
So Bud K was like is they still are, because I resubscribed to the Bud K catalog recently. They're like anything terrible that you can think of, you could buy at the flea market, like any fantasy weapon or whatever. They're a company that just sells this stuff. They're called Bud K, not because the founder's name was Bud like Krasinski or something like that. It's because they were like, well, we sell knives and we want these to be better than buck knives, so they just so D is one higher than C, so
You're
they
kidding
call
me.
it, swear to God. So
That is
they
the
call
dumbest sounding reason at all.
it,
Oh,
it's it, it's real bad. It's real bad. So yeah,
yeah.
the Bud K catalog, I subscribed to it, resubscribed to it again, because I remember getting those when I was a kid, and
Kind of
I'm
want
like,
to look at that now.
man, if I ever have like $100, or when I'm a kid, like $20, I'm gonna buy all these throwing stars, this ninja suit. But you can get things like metal playing cards that are sharpened on the edges that you can like throw, like your Gambit from the X-Men or something like that.
Yeah, you can like put little LEDs on it too, so you can really think you're cool, like Gambit.
Oh, there's a lot of real bad stuff in there, like the spider
Yeah.
knife, like the knife that's shaped like a spider,
Oh man. Oh,
earlier.
that's beautiful. I kind of want to subscribe to that just to see it, just so I can like, you know, have a few drinks and laugh at it.
Oh, they'll send you a catalog for free. I've been like stockpiling them because they're awesome. You have to kind of sift through pages and pages of Trump stuff, and I'm
Oh.
almost tempted to write him an email just to ask where all the, like, hey man, y'all sell all this president stuff in here, but it's all President Trump stuff. Like, where's all the President Biden stuff? I need to know where
Where's the
this stuff is
Obama
too.
stuff?
Yeah, where's the Obama stuff you're selling in here? I want to see how they take that. I don't think they take it very
Yeah,
well.
not really well. By the way, also, for anyone watching, I'm at my wife's standing desk, and it feels kind of surreal. It feels like how we hang out and just like sit around in a place and just like hang hands in our pockets, talking like about stuff. It's weird. I just like, let me try the standing desk. What I like about it, it's kind of cool, kind of weird. And I'm like, you know what? This will keep me on my toes. I'll be
I have one, and I like it for about 5 minutes, and then I just sit back down, and I go through this phase where I'll stand up, sit down, and it's like, it's better for you. I'm like, I don't know if it is, but
Yeah, I got a little like walking like you know like a walking pad like a kind of tiny treadmill thing, which
oh, nice.
I'm not gonna do that while I'm on the podcast.
Oh,
I have trouble enough keeping my thoughts straight.
I
So
would. You know what I have a hard time. You know what I have a hard time keeping straight, though,
what?
is who is Alpha Trion, though?
Oh man, we are going to have a lot of fun coming up with Alpha Trion.
Oh my God, Alpha Trion, this dude.
Yes.
Yeah. So
So
yeah, Alpha Trion. So we're
you're in the
just since
search for him. Yes.
we're doing the search for Alpha Trion, the
Search. Yeah.
search for
No,
Alpha
yeah,
Trion.
we're not secret of Omega Supreme already happened. This is written by Beth Bornstein, who I've actually talked to. I want to see if I can get her on an interview as well. She actually wrote a lot of Gem on the Holograms,
Found that, yeah.
Silverhawks, yeah, Thundercats, a few episodes of Transformers, as you see. And I think she did she write some G.I. Joe also?
G.I. Joe, some Batman animated series
Oh,
also.
yeah.
It seems like a lot of people that it's really kind of funny, because I don't want to say that these are bad, these episodes of Transformers are bad, but because they're fine. But a lot of these writers went on to write for Batman animated series, and Batman the animated series to me is one of the best like kids like shows or like that, you know, aimed at the same target, you know, demographic or whatever. Because like I watch those now. Like I just recently bought the whole series
Oh,
on
nice.
iTunes and I watch it now and I'm like, man, these are really good. Like these are
Sure.
friend of the show Jehu will tell you that Superman is the animated series is better than Batman animated series. I'm gonna shut that down because because Batman is just a way better character than Superman, but nobody has time
well,
for old played out Kal-El.
yeah. So, A, first of all, Batman the Animated Series is one of my favorite series that was on at Friends. It actually is kind of nice because it became one of the shows you grew into. Like, you're watching G.I. Joe and Transformers, it became the next series we really got into. So, yeah, once again, fantastic series. Jehu, love that was the New Adventures of Superman or Superman the
I think it was
Animated.
just Adventures of
Adventures
Superman.
of Superman.
Yeah.
Good series. The thing is,
Fine.
I can't stand Superman as a character.
Yeah, he's real dull.
He's real dull, and it doesn't help having him in a series that looks like they were trying to draw it like it was from the 50s. And it doesn't, it looks really neat. It's very, like, very nicely done, very artistically, but not the same writing caliber.
Well, I mean, I think it's supposed to be like to kind of reference those Max Fleischer
Oh,
Superman
yeah.
cartoons, which is what I think
Which
what
is
you should go
cool.
for. That's the best way to approach Superman. I wasn't terribly interested
I
in
mean,
it.
this is what I think when I see those joints. That's
He's
just
real
saying,
big.
real chest, real big chest. So yeah, a lot of writers we've been talking to, and a lot of writers and ones we will be talking to aren't talking about have done a lot of these same shows. So yeah, you realize that they, I feel like they were almost trying to get, I don't know, like we had talked to Michael Charles Hill about this. He would like submit like six scripts and hope they picked up one of them. So,
Right.
yeah, I'll do this is a premise, this is a premise, this is a premise. But I really like this because Beth is really proud of the fact that she kind of created Alita One, who is a character that's actually kind of stuck around for a while. It was even in the not great a Netflix War for Cybertron series.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't great, but she kind of, made the whole female Autobot or female Transformer thing a reality. It was, I almost feel like it was probably her influence of like she liked a female driven like show or a cast like Jim, for instance. So obviously you would want to make a some main characters who were, good characters for a one off as women.
So, yeah, that was the thing. That was they introduced four new characters, four brand new characters in this episode, and they didn't have figures for these, did they? These weren't toys, were they?
Not back then,
They
no.
weren't toys then.
Not back then.
Yeah,
I have all of them now, obviously.
I'm sure you have all of them now, but I
Yes, I
mean,
have all of them now.
like did they come on the 80s though?
No, they did not.
See, that's
Well,
what
you
was
gotta
weird.
also remember it was a different time in the 80s where they were scared to make women or girls' toys in a boys' line. They just were. They didn't have like we'll get into RC later. She was in the Transformers 86 movie. She's in season three Transformers. They never made a figure for her. She was one of the major characters, but just like with He-Man and Masters of the Universe, Teela was not one of the favorite toys for boys
Oh, we're gonna
because,
talk. We'll touch on Teela in a little bit.
okay, yeah, definitely.
An evil
But yeah,
realm.
so it was one of the things where they were scared to make girls figure.
I these things I know.
I know you do. I just want to tell the audience too, so they think we're a bunch of misogynists over here. If they've listened to us anytime, they know we're not. But
So we open this episode up with we have these three female
I'm so glad you said that. The disdain, the shockwave voice.
the word female gets thrown around so derisively. I felt like I was watching an episode of Deep Space Nine. I felt like I was watching a bunch of Ferengis in a row. Females.
Don't let the females wear clothing.
Females. This is how I felt about this episode.
Okay.
So we
Core.
have three female Autobots. They're doing guerrilla war on Cybertron. I don't know where they've been for the last 4 million years, but they've been sitting underground, I guess. They do like a little raid on Shockwave, which is
Yeah.
cool because anytime we get to see like life on Cybertron, I'm here for it. This is cool. So they go and they they do like this little raid, and they do this weird thing where they blow a hole like in a wall. They're trying to find like a cache of stuff or whatever. So they blow open a hole in the wall, and right behind that wall is just like a computer panel that was like what did you like? It's like if you I don't know, man. It's like if you paint a mural on a wall and then you build a wall right in front of it. Like, hey, man, look, man, I ripped up my carpet and I found hardwood floors. Is
It kind of is that actually.
or hey, I ripped up
I'm
my
a
hardwood floor and
computer.
found carpet. This is how we felt about that. It was real
Yeah.
bizarre.
And I love how he says the female Autobots. I
They
thought they were extinct. Okay,
were
Shockwave is
extinct.
so
Dude, he is
pissed about this.
mad about females.
Female Autobots.
He's so mad he
He
has to call up Megatron on the phone and
says
tell them
that's
there's
after the escape and
this is
stuff.
after the whole thing. But he gets so mad later on. He has to call his friend up and tell him there's girls.
I found
There's
girls on
girls.
Cybertron. They
I
were getting my
found
stuff, man.
girls.
They were
This is
looking at
weird.
all my
This is
toys. They were gonna touch them.
insane.
They were looking at you touching my comic books.
So we have these three. We have Firestar is one of them.
Chromia
Chromia,
and Moonracer.
Moonracer. Yeah, those are cool names. Those are cool.
They
They're
are
cool.
actually
They're
really good
pretty cool
names.
designs too. I was into
Yeah.
the designs. They're all
I
kind of
like
similar,
this
but
is when you start to get to the pre-Earth kind of Cybertron curvier robot design. You get from the like almost 70s pulp robot stuff.
they were kind of if you know who Hajime Soriyama is, he did like a lot of those airbrush like sexy robots on like Heavy Metal magazine. They kind of reminded me of them of a little bit,
Very much.
not quite as gross as
Hips,
Soriyama.
thighs, lipstick. They always have to have a lipstick.
You know, their car modes reminded me of there was a GoBot called Psycho, I think
Yeah,
was
they
his
were.
name.
Yeah, that was.
It was kind of a future looking space car.
Oh yeah,
They
it was the one that had
reminded me a lot of
the kind of the clear thing in the middle. It has two silver parts like that. He looked like a futuristic car with a crust on top. Yeah, I can see
yeah.
that.
Their car modes reminded me of him a lot. I thought it was pretty cool. That was the first
Yeah.
GoBot I ever had, and so I always have a fondness for that. But
Yeah. Yeah.
so but the, but they're running this mission for somebody named
Elita one.
Alita One. So the subtitles,
Yes.
I thought she was called Leader One. I was like, is this a
There's
crossover that I need? Like,
also Little One a lot.
Little One. They called her Little One a lot
Yeah, I
in
love
this.
that.
Little
I
One.
got some good lines from the subtitles for these.
But you know, the thing also is that like, because Michael Charles Holt kind of touched on this, talking about Lord Gaikoni or Lord Gaikoni. Where he, where, you know, he was like, you know, I created this name, and but I wasn't there during the recording, and so you know, the pronunciation didn't get through. So different characters kind of pronounce that name a little bit different, to where I was kind of confused if she's
Yeah.
Alita One with an Alita, like Battle Angel Alita, or if she's Elita One, like Elite with an A One,
It's
or
that
if she was like Olita One. I was real
one.
confused. What is it, like Olestra or something like that? What is the what? What's the
Lelita dash one. And Beth is actually, she talked to me, she's very proud of this character because she wanted a strong female character like a the other side for Optimus Prime. So
She's cool.
oh
She,
yeah,
I, she, yeah, yeah. That's. I think she succeeded there. This is very
yeah,
cool.
it was really really good show. This is for basically a one-off character for them. It did a good job. It's like DEFCON with the Gambler. These one-off characters that are really good, they just don't show up anymore. But we get plenty more of Power Glide and stuff like that. That's a problem. Or Sea Spring,
Oh, God. I'm gonna do more Perceptor.
Merman.
Get
So yeah, man.
serious.
So they he. Shockwave sends his Sentinel robot, which looks like a Radio Shack robot, flying 10 feet behind them and above them. She's like, I think we're being followed. And
This
this
guy
guy
looks
said,
like those
like,
robots.
he's got little wheels on the bottom. He's like, yeah, he's like one of the robots, like, he had, like, take, like, 6D batteries and it'd run for, like, half an hour and, like, a corded controller to it, and it would go.
Dude, this guy was real bad. He looked like sort of like a mix between those robots from the movie Silent Running and like a vending machine.
Or actually, from what was it? The mall called Chopping Mall. Did you ever
Like, I don't have time to get into Chopping Mall right now. That's
that? Look at these
I don't
robots
like
too. Yeah.
this. It's gonna go right into subdivisions if I talk about the Chopping Mall, aka Killbots.
Oof. Yeah.
So yeah, and so he, oh man, Shockwave just goes on and on about these Female Autobots, mad.
Female Autobots.
So they steal some Energon, and that's it. And I guess it's what was her name? Firestar.
Moonracer goes back and tries to get a little extra and trips the alarm.
Okay. Well, they get a bunch. There's some hijinks, and they get a bunch
Yeah.
of it. They home sweet home. They get back to their home sweet home. They live in a hole in the ground covered with garbage.
And Alita One is like, you can't come in until you take care of the guy who's following you. So they have to turn around, shoot the thing behind them. Okay, can we come in now, Mom? And yeah, then they move the garbage out of the way and come down there. But I mean, like, this guerrilla warfare on Cybertron for 4 million years, they're going to live in some garbage if it's going to help them.
But is it though? Because who are they fighting? If it wasn't Shockwave, because Shockwave just now saw him, he's like, "Oh my God, females are
Well,
still
yeah.
exist." Like, who have they
Maybe
been
like
fighting
the
against for 4 million years?
Morlocks, they're living underground, man, all this time.
Are there
They're
more? Are there other Decepticons on Cybertron at this point, or is it just like Shockwave?
I'm not gonna get into the things that are gonna happen later on Cybertron. It's yeah, we're just gonna say, like, hey, what about the Rainmakers, the green, blue, and yellow seekers that were there in that one episode?
Oh yeah, I like those guys.
Yeah.
Those are
Anyways,
cool.
so yeah,
So,
it's a planet. So yeah, every so often I'm like, yeah, we'll make an episode, they'll be there too. So it's
but they
kind
were
of
just around the corner. They're just around the corner from where Shockwave is, though.
yeah.
It wasn't like they were on like another continent. They're like right there. You know, they're neighbors.
Yeah, and man, so they go in there and Shockwave calls Megatron, like, Megatron, female Autobots. And Megatron's like, oh, really? Yeah, female Autobots? Well, they escaped. He gets so mad, it turns so fast. He is so pissed off. Like, you find them, you know where they can, they are, go get them. Man, it went from like Megatron's just like, oh, yes. And it is weirdly like he was happy, man. It was.
Why? Yeah, he was
He
really into
got
this. And
well, and we find out later why he's like, all right, I'm hatching a plan. I'm ha hatching a 22-minute episode plan. Here we go.
yeah, man.
But
So God, so Alita One calls Alpha Tri she calls Alpha Trion on the video phone. She FaceTimes him, and this dude's cool, man. He's got like a robot beard.
Oh
It's like
yeah,
Todd May from Kill Bill.
he kind of does.
He's got the
That's kind of
long.
cool.
Yeah,
Alpha
it's pretty
Trion's
rad.
kind of like, he's almost like a mystic older guy who has all the secrets. And I don't want to give away what things he does later on, because he's going to be in several more episodes.
So
So,
does he transform? Because he didn't transform in this
no,
episode.
he didn't transform in the show. I mean, they released toys of him later on, of
What
like
does he turn into?
reprints.
What does he turn into? Does he have a cool form?
It's like space hovercraft thing. It's spaceship thing. I don't know. Dude, what is. Okay, I'm not. Yes, he does transform. It flies. It's oblong shaped with a rounded front and engines or something. Yeah, I know. Don't
About all this,
growl.
man.
Don't growl at me, man.
He reveals, but he reveals
So,
though that he reveals that Alita One has a special power, and like, oh man, I'm
oh,
intrigued by the like. You don't ever use it though. You got, she's
the Chekhov's gun is laid out.
like you got this move, but don't
Don't
use
use
it.
it.
But don't use it.
Don't
Don't
use your
use it.
special power, Alita One. She's like, oh yeah, I'm definitely gonna use that. Why would I use that? But before that, then the conversation with Shockwave and Megatron, the subtitles go, they call Alita Little One, and Megatron tells Shockwave he'll send some Decepticons to assist him, but it comes out as Megatronicons, which is not really off message at all.
I saw that. That was pretty
I
cool.
was like, what is that? I had to back it up to see what he said. So yeah, the MacGuffin, or the Chekhov's gun, if you will, of Alita One's special power. Don't say what it is, because it's got to come out in that special moment. So just for the scene.
Yeah, man.
Anyway.
So the oh man. So the Decepticons come up over the Star Bridge, and they attack, and they attack the females, and
Female Autobots.
Firestar just stands there, while like a giant piece of conduit falls on her. She just stands there for like 10 seconds while a piece of conduit's
Oh,
like
no.
falling, and it pins her down. But Alita One though, like one of these Decepticons, like one of the Conehead, I think, Seeker,
Ramjet.
she's a missile at her. She grabs this missile out of the sky and throws it
Throws
back at him and
back
blows
out.
him up. And this is great. This was super cool.
Was like that. I mean, she's awesome. Megatron calls Optimus Prime, though, after this whole battle happens, and he goes like,
Awesome.
Optimus Prime, we have female Autobots.
He calls.
You have captured Elite One. And Optimus Prime is like, oh no. Like, you must come to Cybertron in the next 2 hours.
Dude, he gives him 2 Earth hours he called him and said, basically said, "I got your girl. Be here in 2 hours, or I'm blowing
Pretty
your girl up."
much.
You know what I remember realized to this point though is we haven't heard anyone talk about like astroseconds in a long time.
They've
It's been a
been
long time since we've heard about
getting
astronauts.
acclimated to Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're becoming native. Man, I love that though. It was the best thing. Like Megatron's just like he's all giddy. He's like, yeah. He doesn't do anything in this whole episode except show up on view screens, but it doesn't matter. It's fine.
Dude, so when he's talking to him, like it's hilarious because he's on the screen and he's all like it's the camera's like focused on Optimus Prime and like Megatron goes, "B, you have 2 Earth hours," and Optimus Prime just goes, "No." Fist up in the air.
Emotional
No.
response.
This was pretty funny. So he takes off and he goes to the star. Somehow he finds the star bridge again. Did
Space
Cybertrons
bridge.
keep moving it?
Oh yeah. Yeah,
Do they keep moving it,
they'll
or
pick it
is
up
it?
and move it. It was in a stadium before Child's Play, man.
They
Yeah,
have to find it every time.
they
And but
do. There's some the subtitles right when he was like at the end of this, and it says I will save you, a little one, if it means sacrificing myself. But instead, he says this line, which sounds like he's doing this heartfelt thing to a child who's in danger. I will save you, little one, even if it means sacrificing myself. Man, right back onto the ninja movie stuff.
We got like a yeah, we got a cool little flashback there. That was
Yeah,
pretty cool.
we did actually. Yeah, that was.
That was the flashback.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they were leaving, and it was. They got missiles and they disappeared, and he's like, well, they're dead, I guess I'll leave now.
They
And it
didn't
was,
really explain very well how
yeah.
the time shift there at all, but so Optimus Prime leaves and he goes to the Star Bridge and he gets sucked up into the sky like.
Yeah.
To keep it topical, today was the eclipse, and I was real disappointed that nobody got raptured, but he looked like he got
It
raptured. He looked like he got
is.
like Whitley Strieber'd up into space. That was
You
cool.
did. I gotta say, I wrote down notes. I feel bad for myself saying this now. So my note was, so Optimus went out for smokes and left them all on Cybertron. He just took off. I'll be back. And he didn't come back for 4 million years.
Everybody has a girl.
I know.
But so we get like Ironhide and who was it, Powerglide, and who else was it? It was
It was Ironhide, Inferno, and Powerglide.
Inferno. It was all red again. We're saving money by
Yeah. Oh
coloring
yeah, man.
the
That's
Ironhide
just like
red.
it's the red team, man. And dude, by the way, do you think Red Alert is gonna be real jealous that Inferno went back to saw his girlfriend? Because they have a really strange relationship, Inferno and Red
Oh,
Alert.
totally. Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know.
these guys all saw their girlfriends. But see, the thing is that they're like, where did Optimus Prime go? I don't know. There's only one way to find out though. Transform.
Let's go.
That was the that was their that was Ironhide's solution. Transform.
The best part is in that same scene when they're at the base, Cliffjumper's there. He's also red.
Also red. Yep.
Yes, I thought he's gonna come with them. So no. So after Optimus Prime's up there and he shows up, and it's like a laser Floyd show. And he shows up, he's like, oh, lasers off flying around him, and he ends up in an unbreakable cube.
Oh, he's terrible. He has no tactics in this. He just rushes
No.
right in and he gets captured. And they do, oh man, they do some awesome bad villain moves where they hang him, they put him in a death trap. They hang him over some acid.
This
And
is a
like
Dr. Evil thing here, man. That's
it
great.
was very it was like every bad it was like every Doctor Doom from like 1970s. This
Yeah,
is cool.
what?
He's
So
like
he's hanging
stops.
up on by chains like this.
He's hung up my chains. This is
I
very
love
cool.
that acid.
Starscream gets a metal bar though, and he makes a sword out. He dips it into acid, makes a sword out of it. This is real cool, and he gives it to Rumble.
Like,
like
look what I
this,
did.
like I don't think that's the best way to make a proper decent sword. I think you're probably better off getting a ninja sword from Bud K,
Ooh,
and cutting
ooh,
those chains because I don't think an acid wrenched drenched metal stick is really gonna
no.
cut much. But
But wait, Alita One screams.
Well, we come back from a. Well, what happens is we cut to a commercial. There's a commercial break here. And
No.
so Optimus Prime gets dropped, that they cut the chain and they drop Optimus Prime into the acid. And we come back though, and like he's kind of colored green, like I guess Alita One saved him or something. But there's just like all
Sometime.
these crazy lines all over the thing. It's like they just overlaid like the last like 15 minutes of 2001 over this episode. The
That's
ultimate
pretty spot
threat.
on.
It was just, but it was going on. I thought something was wrong with the. I was like, something wrong with YouTube? Is this episode just did just go? I'm like, oh, but then it was like it shifts where it is, and you're like,
Yep.
oh, okay. She's gonna do the move. She did the move.
She did
Totally
her
honestly,
special power.
she did the move. She did the move.
And turn him from green back into red and blue.
Turn him back into red.
Then
Turn him.
she pulled him out of this frozen time and made him also able to run around. And then she started dying. He's like,
Because
look, woman.
if she does the move, it depletes her life force. Like,
And she tells Optimus, go find Vector Sigma. Oh, not Vector Sigma, Alpha Trion. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, let's go find Alpha Trion.
why? What does he have to do with
Because
this?
he's the only one that can fix her.
Can fix her? What? Like, if she just sacrificed herself to, why didn't she just like take him and take him to get pull him out of the acid and take him to?
Well, he would have been disintegrated, man.
I don't know, man. I don't know, dude. So yeah, so he transforms, he throws her into the trailer, and he takes off and oh, Alpha Trion's base, and they pan over, and it's just a bunch of rubble. Everybody lives in rubble on Cybertron.
It's
It's
bad.
relative
They're mesh
garbage.
people. Yeah.
Christ.
He's like,
Like Portland.
Alpha Trion, she used her special power. No, he goes, she used her special power, didn't she? She saved me. And so we go back to his lab, and she's laying on the slab. I didn't mean for that to rhyme. And so yeah, he's like, you're the only one who can help her, Optimus. You're the only one who's compatible with her. And he's like, well, how do you know that? Only the person who built me would know that. Well, call it an educated guess.
Well,
No. Yeah.
in one line, like five words of dialogue, we get an entire creation mythos for Transformers.
One of them.
One, yeah,
He got
one.
so Optimus Prime opens up his chest compartment, pulls out his SATA cable to plug into hers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to use an old style hard drive transference.
Yeah, man.
And he's like plugs in, and it's like, oh, Alita One. And so yeah, he basically like powers her, and they do this whole energy transference thing. But then we cut to the Autobots are like they're pretty much laying waste to all the Decepticons that are there because they're
Dude,
outnumbering them now.
we cut to the worst battle scene of all time, where it's like five Autobots on one side and five Decepticons on the other side, and they're just standing there shooting guns at each other. And this is real bad. Then Starscream calls for a retreat. He says Decepticons retreat, and the subtitles say the guns green tree. That was good. We get some cool like little like team up things here where like all the Autobots I guess meet up with their old girlfriends because I guess they were all these they were all
Sure.
dating they were dating these females when they lived on Cybertron
Females.
and they hadn't they weren't even mad that they hadn't talked in 4 million years. Nobody
No,
was
no.
like, you can't return my texts, they left them on read for 4 million years and
Yeah, did you
nobody
get your
cared.
cigarettes?
It's ridiculous. And but they pull the old like, I'm gonna sh don't shoot him. I'm the better shot. I'm like, oh, I forgot. And blame. It was cool. And
Yeah, it was,
I
but in
did like
like,
though that there was a scene where Starscream was like on a ledge, like he was about to fall off. And I was like, dude, they're gonna shoot him. He's gonna fall. And I'm like, he's gonna forget that he can fly. And but then he falls and he turns into a jet and he flies away. And I'm like,
that's what he should
good, good.
do. Yeah.
I like that.
Of course, Power Glide was hanging off the ledge, and he can fly too. So
He can
that's
fly also. Yeah, he's
yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, there's one little scene where Shockwave shows just jumps up. He's like, "Nah, forget this." He transforms to a space gun and starts shooting them, and that's when all the things start happening. They start falling off the ledge, and he stays as a space gun for a while.
He like hovers as a space gun,
Yeah,
and
he's like,
then they throw him off the edge, and he falls down.
yeah, it does.
It was real sad.
I guess Decepticons can't fly on Cybertron, just on Earth.
Oh, and just on Earth,
I
right.
guess they needed a yellow sun or something like that.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe they do.
I
Maybe that
mean,
is. Oh, maybe you're onto something there. Maybe that.
oh,
Maybe that fuels the Matrix that I don't know anything about because I haven't not watched that far in the show yet.
Well, yeah, you will. It's coming up
So
sooner than later.
is Alpha Trion like the creator of the Autobots or
No,
like?
his he it'll come up in another episode what he did.
I mean,
I
he
don't want to
said
give
that
away,
he is.
man. It's future
Well, I mean,
stuff.
I don't want spoilers, but I'm just like I'm so, but they do touch on
Not
this
the
briefly. This
Autobots, but
comes up later on.
Optimus Prime in
Okay.
Elite One. It comes up later on. Yeah. He's
So
like
he's their dad, but they're like
he's
romantically
yes, as
entangled.
Lita says, he's always felt like a father figure to me. He's like, oh, well, actually,
Yeah.
yeah.
So they're but they have like a little moment though. They have like a little like moment like they're together, but they're brother and sister.
Yes and no. No, not really. I don't know. Dude, I don't
So that's fine. So we get the Luke and Leia thing. So who's Han Solo then? Is
Aren't
Omega Supreme gonna be like Han Solo, and is
I?
Luke gonna be the cool guy?
You see this claw? You see this gun?
Jetfire, Jetfire, the is he
No,
the
man. He well, if he showed up again, yeah. Yeah,
Rick,
man.
maybe Rick Hunter shows up. Maybe he's
Yeah,
like
Rick and kisses Lisa Hayes, and they all get grossed out. Yeah, man. That's it. And they all say, hey, we're gonna stay here. Alpha Trion gives them a nice new base with all these computers. It's funny, Power Glide's in there going, hey, we got a base like this on Earth with all these kinds of things. He's like, he doesn't understand what computers are. He's like, we got all this kind of stuff on Earth in our base. He's like, oh, well, that's cool. We're gonna stay here and figure things
We'll stay
out,
here
huh?
and like
Yeah.
maybe come back with us, or maybe we could have like a maybe some dudes could swap positions for a little while and help out, like maybe that might be a bad idea.
They're a
I
lot
don't know.
more useful than a lot of the guys.
They were real good. I mean, they were, except for like the part where like they got like a little blown up or whatever, like
Yeah.
everything they did, they were better than the actual Autobots. They were
Yeah.
very good and
They
competent,
were
and
the
it was
Autobots.
really
They're the
cool.
female Autobots.
Females.
Female. Yeah.
Every time, but they said females in this episode probably 70 times, and every time I heard it, all I could I just saw Quark's face when he says that.
Brunt and Cork having a discussion about finances and females.
God, not allowed to acquire.
But yeah,
So.
it's like a one-off episode, but it actually is not, because the characters are referenced as we go on later and later. So especially Alpha Trion and Alita One is referenced also, and so
Leader
on.
one. Ooh.
Or no, Little One.
Leader one. So
The Little One.
yeah, this was and that was it. And
Yeah.
this wasn't a bad episode.
It was fine.
It was fine. I liked it. I don't know. I mean, it had new characters, which I like. Unfortunately, I couldn't go as a kid. I could not go and buy those things.
I forgot.
Those things. And so but I mean, it had cool Cybertron stuff, and I like that.
Yeah.
So Kid Brain is gonna go, I don't know, it was good. I thought it was good. Kid Brain's gonna go, that's tough. 3.5 3.5 ninja stars with dragons etched on them in the Budkei catalog that I could never order because I didn't have a check or money order when I was a kid. Adult brain on this one. I liked it a lot. There just it I kind of feel like there really wasn't a whole lot to like. It was good, and like it was good enough, and it was fine. But I mean, there just wasn't a whole, I don't know. I didn't feel like it was all that fun, I guess. I saw things that I liked, but I don't feel like it really, like, I don't know, it didn't really like make me laugh or like get me real invested into like a really cool like battle or anything like that. So I mean adult brains, I don't know, like there was nothing bad in this. It just wasn't nothing really like stuck out at me. So adult brain's gonna go 3 gold pressed platinums from Quark's bar in Deep Space Nine with pictures of females etched on it.
Yeah, man, I agree with you. This is actually it was a fun episode. And the thing is, as you'll learn, as we go with the rest of these here on season two, that this actually has a lot of long, running implications of the other episodes. It's where it starts to build a lot of the continuity leading into the end of season two, which I like that. I like when it becomes less episodic and more like a overall story arc. There's something involved in all this. So that right there got me happy about it. And you can definitely tell the someone who wrote for Jim had her hands all over this. It was cool. She actually wrote decent characters for a one-shot episode. And
No, yeah, I thought so too. Like the actual writing I thought was real good, and the characters were pretty. Oh, what was your rating, by the way? I don't want to. There's another
you
tangent I have
haven't I
here.
haven't given it yet. I
What's
haven't
up?
given my rating. I haven't given my
Oh, well, I
rating.
didn't want to cut you off. I was
Yeah,
going to
well,
cut you
you
off and talking
did.
about voice actors, but go ahead.
So yeah, I think after watching this again, and I haven't watched this in a while. Once again, it's one of those episodes I haven't seen in a while, and I can't wait to talk to Beth about this. And I will give this. Oh, I think I'll give this like 3.5 Alita out of 5 for this. And yeah, big fan of it. I'm glad we watched it. And I don't know, man. I kind of like the whole idea, like Megatron, like he's like female Autobots. That was the funniest part of this whole thing.
Oh man, yeah. I was real curious about the voice actors for all the female Autobots in this though. So I did a like a quick look up on them, and Morgan Lofting was one of them. I think there was like three women that did like all four of the women's voices. So Morgan Lofting
Baroness?
did one of them, or I think two of them maybe, and she was the Baroness
Yeah, I thought she
on
was.
G.I.
Okay,
Joe.
yeah.
She's
Oh,
the
which
Baroness.
fantastic. One of my favorite
She was
favorite
also
characters.
on a show called Street Hawk. Remember Street Hawk?
I do. I
Street Hawk was like
vaguely.
the well, Street Hawk was this show. Is in the 80s there was like this rash of movies and shows that were about like a super vehicle of some sort. Like there was like Knight Rider, so you had like a computerized
Earwolf.
Trans Am. You had Airwolf, which was a ripoff of which Airwolf was a weaponized top secret helicopter,
Blue
which was a
Thunder.
ripoff of Blue Thunder, the Roy Scheider film Blue Thunder, which was a weaponized top secret helicopter. But a lot of that Street Hawk was one where it was a weaponized top secret motorcycle. Like
Okay,
the
yeah.
like what's the cheapest vehicle that we can make for
Come
here, and
on,
I'm
man.
surprised it wasn't like a skateboard one or something like that, where some like Gleaming the Cube knockoff with a like a skateboard or
There
something.
was
But
there's the movie Delta Force when we were younger. Also it had Chuck Norris in there. He his the whole thing was the best part of that was he's riding that motorcycle had missiles in it, and it was it looked
no, that
no.
wasn't Delta Force, that was Mega Force.
That was Delta Force.
No, it was
Did he
Mega
have like
Force.
jets in the back of it and stuff?
Mega Force.
That was Mega Force.
Mega Force, not Chuck Norris either. And that
Oh.
is, I loved that movie when I was a kid, and I watched part of it recently, and it is probably the worst thing I've ever seen.
I'm
That
sure the motorcycle effects look like
the
bottle rockets going
definition of a trap of nostalgia. It is absolutely terrible.
off.
It is one of the worst things that I have ever seen in my life. It's the worst. It flies on that motorcycle, like wings come down. It's like Mask almost.
Oh yeah, definitely.
He flies, and it's like I can do a better job doing like a flying effect with my iPhone than they did back then. It was terrible. I begged my dad to take me to see that, and he was so mad that we had to sit through that. It is awful. But she was she, I mean, she was in, she was she played a judge in an episode of Street Hawk. She did a lot of voices too, but I was like curious if she did any like live action stuff, and I think she was in like an episode like Falcon Crest,
That checks
the
out.
Street Hawk. But she was all she did one, and I found the episode of Street Hawk and watched her scene in it, and I was like, oh, okay, this is all right. And Street Hawk, I'm like, I almost kind of want to watch Street Hawk. But she was in a show called The Judge. She did one episode of a show called The Judge, and I could not find this episode to watch it. But did you ever see The Judge? Do you know what I'm talking
No,
about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
So in the late 80s, there was a well, let's go back a little further than that. There was in the early to mid 80s, there was a show called The People's Court.
Oh, yes.
The People's Court. Okay, the People's Court was like an actual, supposedly like an actual like legal thing where they would like have people come in and do like a small claims court or something like that, right? So then they started doing these like dramatized versions of this kind of stuff, and there was like I remember there was like a summer where I stayed with my grandma, and there was a time where there was I didn't have anything to do during the day, and so there was like a 2 hour block of these shows that was on. So like I watched like a back to back episodes of Divorce Court and then The Judge, and the judge was it, I mean, it was like they got like the worst actors like I've ever seen. Like these guys were like entry level, like Hallmark Channel actors, like the worst people ever, like doing this stuff, you know. And it was so dramatized. The only one that I remember though is one where there was a guy that was like, he was like a religious fanatic or something like that, and his wife was divorcing him. And he got so he so his wife ended up with a divorce, and he lost everything. So in the end, he was like, he was gonna like gouge his eyes out with pencils at the on the stand or whatever. And it was like they didn't
Oh,
even show
God.
it because they didn't have a budget for effects. So it was literally like him like holding his arms up with two pencils and him going, oh, I'm coming home, Jesus. And then he like you just see him face down and like some blood.
Beautiful.
Oh man, the judge.
Oh,
The judge.
man. Yeah.
Linda Gray was she was she did some voices in this one too. She was Teela and Evil Lyn
Oh, okay.
on
Nice.
He-Man. That's why we want to talk about those characters earlier. Because I think those both sold pretty well, because I think
They did,
He-Man
but
fans bought everything for
yeah.
He-Man. So she also played a deer in Pocahontas.
Oh, okay. Did a lot of
Deer,
lines out of the
not
deer.
a deer. She played deer. Was the credit she has for that deer?
Cool. Okay. I don't know deer, but I believe you.
Deer.
Deer. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, deer. Anyone else in there?
Oh deer. Yep.
Anyone else that jumps out in the vo voices there?
No, those were the two.
Yeah, I know that
I think
the
one of them was Synergy on Jim and the Holograms.
Oh,
So
nice. I
she was
know
there.
one of them. I recognize Carly's voice actress. I thought I recognized it from, the
I don't
Carly,
know.
Spike's girlfriend.
I know. I know Carly. I know
Yeah,
Carly.
Carly, way too old for a Spike girlfriend. Yeah. Yeah, I
But yeah.
can't wait until the 86 movie. There are gonna be so many. Yeah, dude, we're gonna just leave that there
I
because
think we're
I'm
gonna have to do
just.
like it's gonna have to be like a 2 or 3 part episode that we're gonna have to do on the
It
Transformers
really
movie.
is. Oh, man, I cannot wait. Okay, so let's go ahead and end this here because we can ramble on forever as if people have seen. And it is not as comfortable in this room as it is in my office. And I
Well,
not even.
that's because sitting down is cool. Standing up is for suckers.
You talking to me?
Look, dude, a ninja would be sitting down right now.
No, he wouldn't. He would be at
N
oh, no, he would be aware and ready to go at any moment.
a ninja knows how to conserve energy
He's an assassin.
for something later on. He's got to conserve energy for the assassination. If
Dude,
he's doing
I
ninja.
have bent knees. I am not going to pass out. I am not running around, but you're sitting down, you're like you're at ease, you're relaxed.
And then just never at ease, though.
But
And
I'm
then
a
he's
soldier.
conserving energy for the assassination. He doesn't have time to stand up. He's got to sit.
I'm still in training from when I was 8 years old, and I have not gotten to the point of being a ninja yet. So I am going to stay at all times aware. I left my training. I must go back. Anyways, thanks for being here, everyone. Follow us. Oh, God, that sounded terrible. Follow us. Yeah, follow us, man. Share the stuff with people you think are gonna like it. It's always good to see people on the Discord. Tim has having his troubles and he's come back, and I'm glad to see him there. Trigger, all you guys. I don't Mr. Mystics on there.
There's so many people I can't keep track, and I love everybody that contributes.
David, if I haven't heard from you in a while, and come back, see us, hang out. Anyways, all y'all, thanks for being there, and we appreciate you all being there. And we will see you next time. Do you have anything to take us out with today?
Don't forget to check out budk.com. Use the code Ed Hates Transformers for 10%
Oh. Oh, yeah.
budk.
Email us edhatestransformers@gmail.com or morethanmeetsetheguys@gmail.com. See you guys later. Have a great week.
Roll out.
Unworthy Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and/or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.